My father had been an old-time pipeline man, whose best friend had been killed by his side on the last day of World War I. He read classical literature, refused to mow the lawn under any circumstances, spent more days than he should in the beer joint, attended church irregularly, and contended there were only two facts that you had to remember about the nature of God: that he had a sense of humor, and, as a gentleman, he never broke his word. The last part always stuck with me. Benny had proved himself a liar and a bum. My sense of having been used by him seemed to grow daily. My mother could not make me eat, even when my hunger was eating its way through my insides, like a starving organism that had to consume its host in order to survive. I had bed spins when I woke in the morning, and vertigo when I rode my bike to school, wobbling between automobiles while the sky, trees, and buildings around me dissolved into a vortex of atomic particles. My mother tried to tempt me for my abstinence with a cake she baked, and the following day with a codfish dinner she brought from the cafeteria, wrapped in foil, butter oozing from an Irish potato that was still hot from the oven. I rushed from the house and pedaled my bike to Nick's. We sat inside the canebrake at the end of our old street while the day cooled and the evening star twinkled in the west. There was a bitter taste in my mouth, like the taste of zinc pennies. "You miss your dad?" Nick asked. "I don't think about it much anymore. It was an accident." "Why go around feeling bad about an accident?" I replied, turning my face from his, looking at the turquoise rim along the bottom of the sky. "My old man always says your dad would stand up." "Benny Siegel treated us like jerks, Nick," I said. "Who cares about Benny Siegel?" I didn't have an answer for him, nor could I explain why I felt the way I did. I rode my bike home in the dusk, then found a heavy rock in the alley and threw it against the side of the Dunlop's house. It struck the wood so hard the glass in the windows rattled. Vernon came out on the back porch eating a piece of fried chicken, his body silhouetted in the kitchen light. He wore a strap undershirt and his belt was unbuckled, hanging loosely over his fly.
"You're lucky, dickwipe. I got a date tonight."
"But wait till tomorrow," he said. He shook his chicken bone at me.